Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another edition of Horizon Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes. I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and 49 seconds. So, hey, let's just pray and get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to minister to anybody out there that's listening. I thank you that you get all the glory, you get all the praise, you get all of the credit, accolades, everything. Thank you for using me. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of just being able to share your word with people. And I thank you that it falls upon hearts that are ready to receive and to hear what you have to say according to your word. Now, Lord, you said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that we should pray. It says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So right now I pray for all that are in authority. I give you thanks for them. I intercede for them. I give prayers of supplication, which, you know, prayers that can uproot things that have been grounded that are not of you. So I pray that all the pronounced curses over our leaders, President Trump, Vice President Pence, every elected and appointed official, every governor, every lieutenant governor, every mayor, every city manager, every city councilman, everyone that's in a position of authority, whether it be a parent, whether it be a school teacher, anybody, I thank you that you give them wisdom, insight, you surround them with the right people, and you remove the wrong people. And it's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And it's pretty simple. You know, I like to stick to the scriptures when it comes down to what God is asking us to do. If God says pray, we need to know how to pray according to the word versus all the things that are going on out there where people are arguing and there's a bunch of division and strife and backbiting and just chaos and confusion. You know, let's just pray. Why? I desire a quiet and peaceable life. And in addition to that, it says here that in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So who desires that all men be saved? But I want to do things that God sees as good. I want to do things that please him. I want to do things that are acceptable to him. So I stick with his word. I stick to what he says. Now, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. It's especially my mom, Annie Berdine Hikes, Bowens Carr Hikes. Because her mother's maiden name is Bowens. Her father's last name is Carr. And then she married Hikes. So that's why I say Annie Bowens Carr Hikes. You know, it's not like she's been married like three times or like that. Because actually my parents have been married for 50 years, which is a blessing. So I honor all the moms out there, whether they're living or they've gone on to be with the Lord. If you're at a place right now to where you're really, really, really missing your mom, I just want to encourage you that all is well. You're going to be okay. Get around some people that are encouraging. Get around some people that are, you know, have good things to say. Even if it's to the point where, hey, shoot me an email, Daryl, Darrell.Hikes, Hykes, @gmail.com. I'll send you an encouraging word. You know, right now, I pray for all the children out there, all of the adult children that have had parents or a mom that is no longer with them, that they're missing. Lord, I pray that you replace that potential depression with hope, with joy, with peace. just demonstrate your love to them today. I thank you that you send people to them, send angels, number one, to minister to them, and number two, that you allow them to be surrounded with people who are encouraging, who have good things to say, who are, you know, upright with their words, and they speak the right things, and it's just a joyous, celebratory atmosphere to where, you know, they're not being bombarded with the thoughts of, oh, how much I miss my mom, or how much I wish my mom was around. And if you know of someone that's like that, you know, then send them the link to this message to where they can get a word of hope, or go be a word of hope to them. Go be an inspiration. Go be a light in a dark place, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to bombard you with thoughts of, you're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. Look what God did to you. God did not take anybody or anything from you. Now, he may have caused situations to where, like, example, somebody, you know, God can take away the taste for cigarettes. I've seen him do that. But he doesn't take good stuff away. He's a good God. Good gods don't take, well, good gods, a good God, because there's one true God. There are a lot of false gods that want to be God. But he doesn't take good things from you. God didn't take mom. He didn't take dad. He didn't take my child. There's a devil loose, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So now that we've identified who the problem is, you know, go after him. And if you really wanna get Satan to leave you alone, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the authority that Jesus has given you, you have to do it. You have to operate in your authority if you're going to get him to leave out of your life. I had a situation happen just the other night where I was on one of the social media outlets and social media apps, and I read some stuff. And you know, I like to read. I like to gather information. I like to look at stuff. You know. And I was reading some stuff, and it definitely didn't line up with the Word of God. I know that, but it wasn't vulgar, or wasn't like pornographic or anything like that. It was just some information related to how the demonic realm works. Because one thing I do know, you better know your enemy. However, you better let God lead you to read stuff that can help you to where, because there's a lot of stuff going on out there in that world, a lot of stuff that people may not be aware of. Now, a babe in Christ, you know, you might not be ready for some of the things that some Christians that are more mature in things can handle to where you properly know how to navigate. So I was looking at this stuff, and then the thought came up, it tried to attach itself to my soul. That's where your mind, your emotions, intellect, your decision making, that's where your soul, that's where all those things take place. So what happens is the devil, he wants to create a stronghold. He wants to create, like, he wants to camp out, and he wants to fortify, he wants to set up a fortress around you, in your mind, of things that he wants to get in. And so these thoughts kept coming, and I just said, whoa. I said, first of all, the name of Jesus. I just said Jesus, and then I noticed the thought had to subside, because the Bible talks about casting down arguments and every high thing that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience has been fulfilled. So it's my responsibility to handle negative thoughts with words from the Bible, and I know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue has to confess. See, I know what the name of Jesus does. I also know what the blood of Jesus does. And I plead the blood, just like a lawyer does in a court case. What will you plead? Well, we plead not guilty. You know, it's the blood that handles stuff. We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I say, I testify as to what the blood has done. The blood has cleansed this entire, it's cleansed my life of sin, so that I don't have to sin. So I'm not a sinner. Do I commit sin? I'm not even going to get into that. Because at first, then I'd have to explain to you that how I know that I don't sin, because the word says I don't sin. It says you can't sin. But, okay. We got 20 minutes left. Let's get to what it is we need to talk about. So, anyway, happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. Have a great day. You know, if it's barbecuing or whatever, you know, do what you do. Oh, I need to say this really quick while it's on my mind. Tomorrow we will be praying for the state of Minnesota because it is Minnesota's statehood day. In other words, their birthday. It was the date May 11th of 1858. The state of Minnesota was admitted to the Union, and so we're going to pray. I'm going to be praying at 6:58 p.m. Central Standard Time for the state of Minnesota, because you know every state needs prayer. This entire planet needs prayer, but God put it on my heart to begin to start praying for the states on their statehood day, which is, you know, there's a little bit more to it, but I'm not going to get into it. But I'm going to be praying tomorrow for the state of Minnesota. So I recommend pray for the state of Minnesota. Pray for your own state. You know, you don't have to have a mandate from somebody. Pray for your own state, but pray for the state of Minnesota because it's their birthday. You know, I'm going to wish them happy birthday. I'm going to pray for them. I've already talked to, I reached out to Mrs. Lynn Hammond of, and her husband is Mac Hammond, and they have a ministry in Minnesota that I was affiliated with for a period of time through Sea Faith and some different outlets, but I just wanted to put that out there. So, all right, let's look at some stuff here. Now, listen to this statement. God has heard you, and he wants to deliver you from any and every kind of bondage. Go to Exodus 3, and let's look at verses 1 through 10. So God has heard you. He's heard you. God actually, he's heard you. I think it's John chapter 9. It says, well, we know God does not hear the prayers of a sinner and stuff like that. Well, how are you going to get saved if he doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner? Think about it. He has to be able to hear the prayer of a sinner. Otherwise, how are you going to get saved? Okay. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I thought it said Sinai. I think another one says Sinai. But anyway, okay. Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Verse 5, then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites, and the Jebusites and the debt collectorites and the depressionites and any other ites you might have. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God has heard your cries. God hears you. Okay? Just remember that. Sometimes things appear to get worse before they get better. Look at Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Remember Exodus 3, what we just read? It says, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord, our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay upon them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore, they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. So basically, you still got to meet the quota, but we're not going to give you the necessary equipment to get it done. You got to go. You have to provide the equipment and still meet your quota, which that's Pharaoh knew it would be impossible. And actually, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read on, but the taskmasters then started to beat the supervisors of the Israelites because they didn't meet the quota. So things can sometimes get worse or appear to get worse before they get better. But just hold on. Just hold on. Now, Pharaoh could have avoided his destruction by simply obeying the first time. The problem was he was always in a position of giving orders versus taking them. Luke 17, let's look at verse 7. Luke 17 and look at verse 7. I'm just giving you a little bit of background about how Pharaoh, his thinking, and how you may encounter some of these things at your job. You know, you may encounter some of these things in your home. You may encounter some of these things at the grocery store, to where you're dealing with people who you have to understand what their mindset is and the position that they come from as to why they make certain decisions. Because you would think after the first plague, Pharaoh would just say, look, I'm good. Y'all go ahead. But it didn't happen. Why did it take 10 plagues and the death of his firstborn before he finally let him go? Now, we know God said that, but you would think during the course of time, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. So let me, Luke 17, verse 7. It's kind of like telling your kids something 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times, and it's like, why didn't you just obey me the first time? I know what I'm talking about. Just obey. But, okay. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in the field, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, not drunk in the sense of like being drunk, but drunk as in, you know, he drunk, we would say drank, but until I have drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So when Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, they were already dealing with a mindset of somebody who was not used to taking orders from nobody. King at his heel. I'm the head honcho. I'm the HNIC. So if you look at, let me tell you something. You, first of all, you're not going to come up in here telling me what to do. I give the orders. I give the commands. But what Pharaoh didn't understand was God gives the orders. God gives the command. So with that being said, the term I will harden Pharaoh's heart is to be translated, I will show you and Pharaoh what's already in his heart. Because when it says, like, it kept saying that, you know, God kept saying, I will harden his heart. The obstinate rebellion or resistance to let the Israelites go was something that was already, Pharaoh had no inkling of letting the Israelites go. That was free labor. That was a workforce. Plus, who gonna work? We can't work. I'm not going out there and plant crops and all that kind of stuff. I have no clue how to do that. Why would I do it when I can get you to do it? And I can get you to do it. I can make you do it for free. Mm-mm. So you have to understand the mindset and the system that you're dealing with. Okay? So that term, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, is to be translated, I will show you and Pharaoh what's already in his heart. Go to Romans chapter 9, and then let's look at verse 14. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. 9 minutes left. Okay. Let's see. Chapter 9 and verse 14. Right here. It says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Once again, they keep saying he hardens, but a person's heart, God doesn't violate your free will. So what happens is, through situations in life, mindset, the way you were raised up, the things you allowed in, those are the things that harden your heart. God is a God of compassion and mercy. He's not gonna harden somebody's heart to do evil. That's not his nature. So you have to understand how things are translated and the proper context that they're spoken in. So God simply showed Pharaoh what was in his heart, and he showed the Israelites what was in Pharaoh's heart, and also the Egyptians saw what was in Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh didn't have a heart to do the right thing. God is a God of compassion. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He says, I'll show compassion to whom I show compassion. I'll show mercy to whom I show mercy. So like I said, I just want to emphasize the point. God did not cause Pharaoh to initiate the actions that he did. Those were already there. I mean, if you understand anything about God and Satan, you know, number one, they're not even on the same level. But number two, anything that keeps a person in bondage, or keeps a person oppressed, or keeps a person down, that's not from God. That is from the one who kills, steals, and destroys. That's just how it is. Okay. Now let's flip back to Exodus, and we're gonna look at chapter 3. And I'm seeing we got about 6 minutes, so we'll just start out and we'll see, and then we'll just kind of go from there. I'm enjoying this, though. This is fun. I call what we're about to talk about the beginning of the end. It's the beginning of the end for Pharaoh in a destructive way, but it's the beginning of the end of bondage for the Israelites. Now, you got to understand something. Egypt represents the world. The Israelites represent the church. So the Egypt represents the children of Satan, because even Jesus said, you are of your father. I think it's in the book of John, you are of your father, the devil. So that means the devil has followers who do his bidding. And then, so those would be the Egyptians. And some of them actually started looking around like, look, man, this plague thing, this isn't good. We better go ahead and get over here with God's people. And that's the whole point of why God is doing what he's doing. Because he's saying, look, all of these things are happening. All of these things are taking place. Come over here on our side. Come over here into my family. Because there's light in Goshen, even if it's darkness in Egypt. Come over here. This is a place of safety. With the coronavirus, I've been hearing this thing about, you know, stay safe, stay healthy, which I'm totally for. You know, I already live a lifestyle. I'm very, very conscious of what I put in my mouth and put as far as my body's concerned. I'm conscious of that because I found out some things about sugar. I found out some things about, you know, oils. I found out some things. I do my homework. I mean, I look at that. So, but when a person says, stay safe, you know, it's like for me, okay, I'm blessed. Now I'm not going to tempt nor test the Lord my God by, you know, going out and and deciding, well, you know, I don't need vitamin C, or I don't need sunlight, or I don't need stuff like that. Yeah, I understand about social distancing. I get it. But at the same time, I have a God who was talking to me before the coronavirus. I have a relationship with my father who's he's been talking to me during the coronavirus. I have a relationship with my dad who's going to be talking to me after the coronavirus, all this stuff is wrapped up. Now, have there been some changes out there in society? Sure there have. Oh, and I definitely want to say this. Don't subscribe to all of the division that's going on, to where Democrats are talking about Republicans and people are dogging out, you know, speaking negatively about the President of the United States. You know, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to do a Facebook Live tonight. I haven't decided what time yet, but I'm going to do a Facebook Live event, or whatever you call them, let's see, like watch party or something like that, whatever you call it. I'm going to do that, and we're going to talk about what you need to be focused on, even in light of what's going on. Because if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus and look not to the left nor to the right, and that doesn't mean things aren't coming. But remember something: 1,000 can fall in my right side, and 10,000 on my left, but it shall not come near me. Why? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my God. See, these are the things that come out when there's pressure. Whatever's in there, it's going to come out. So that's when it talks about how God, the scripture says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No, no. God exposed what's in Pharaoh's heart. Because I guarantee you, if you squeeze a lemon, you're going to get lemon juice. If you squeeze an orange, you're going to get orange juice. You squeeze an apple, you're going to get apple juice. If you squeeze a sinner, you're going to get sin. I'm telling you. Well, actually, if you squeeze a sinner, you're most likely you get some fear. Because if you pinch a person, if you pinch a sinner, you're going to get some type of fear. But what I'm saying, I mean that in a comical way. Please don't, you know, I ain't no sinner. Who are you calling? Calm down. I'm trying to help you. You know, if you want to be helped, because the Lord, He'll keep you if you want to be kept. So, but anyway, you know what? We are, 2 minutes and 20 seconds left in the show. I tell you what, this is a good time to ask you to do something. If you've ever heard the term a moment of silence, take a moment of silence to evaluate your life and answer this question. This is an excellent time. This came up. This is something that came up in my spirit a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't. A lot of times God will give you stuff, but you got to understand timing. If you were to die today, what that means is if you were to leave this planet today, what would happen? Number one, would you go to heaven? Number two, would you go to hell? Number three, you don't know. Number four, you don't care. Or number five, other. So I want you to take about 10 seconds to just think about that. If you died today, what would happen? Now I'm going to be, okay, I'm still talking while you're thinking. But if you answered anything 2 through 5, which means you're not going to heaven, that means you automatically, by default, you're going to go to hell. And everything else doesn't matter after that, because you only get 2 choices. So if you want to make the decision today to solidify heaven as your final destination after you leave this planet, repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I realize Jesus Christ died for me. I no longer want to be a sinner. I give up my sinful life in exchange for His life of righteousness. Now, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me. I confess with my mouth that He was raised from the dead, and because of that, I'm saved. I'm not going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome to the family. I guess we'll talk next week.